Okay, so we are out of evolution now. We're going into ecology. This 6 weeks, if you need a 6 weeks to bring up your grade, this is your 6 weeks. Okay? You just have to do it because this is probably the easiest 6 weeks we'll have in here. The content is easy right now. We're in ecology. Food webs, things like this, biomes. This is a lot easier, just in general. Okay? Today we're going to be talking about organisms and their relationships. So, our essential questions of the day: what is the difference between abiotic and biotic factors? What are the interactions between the levels of biological communities? And what's the difference between an organism's habitat and niche? Review vocabulary: we have species. What's a species? It's the basic unit of naming. It's the smallest group of classification. What's our species name?
Humans.
Nope. Sapiens. What's our genus name? Homo. We are Homo sapiens. Everywhere in the world. Because of which naming system? The binomial nomenclature. By who? Linnaeus. Very good. New vocabulary of today, we have ecology, biosphere, biotic factor, abiotic factor, population, biological community, ecosystem, biome, habitat, niche, predation, symbiosis, mutualism, commensalism, and parasitism. It's a lot. Although some of these you already know. What's a parasite?
That one.
Not necessarily a bug.
What is it called? The other one?
Host.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a something that harms the host. It benefits and the other one's harmed. So we're going to get their specific definitions and examples of them because it's not necessarily a bug. There's a lot of things that fall under parasites. Fleas and ticks are parasites, but they're not the only parasites. Yeah. Ticks give us Lyme disease. Yes. No.
What?
But technically, a fetus is a parasite of any species
Wait, all
because
farm animals.
it will harm the mother if the mother doesn't give it enough nutrients. Just like a worm in the stomach will harm the host if you don't give it enough nutrients. If it will, yeah, the fetus will get its nutrients no matter what. It will take it from the mother, it will take it out of the bones and the bloodstream to the detriment of the mother. So technically. All right. So in ecology, this is going to be the study of the relationship of organisms to each other and including their environment. Okay? So organisms, in order to survive, are going to need living and non-living things to help them out. Okay? So we all need water to survive, right? And that's not a living thing. So we do need our environment. Most of our environment is going to be abiotic, so not living. Okay, there's going to be quite a few little models and tools that they use for this. We'll go through some of them. So first off, we have on the largest scale the biosphere. This is any part of Earth that supports life, which is every part of Earth for the most part. Okay? Everywhere that supports life is the biosphere. Specific areas of the biosphere are going to be called biomes. You're going to get very familiar with a biome because you're going to have a project on biomes. Okay? Hopefully, you'll get familiar with the other biomes through presentations. So within the biosphere, there's two different types of factors. The first one being biotic factors. What does bio mean? Life. So these are all the living factors. These are our four of our kingdoms. Which one's missing? Archaea. So we have protists, plants, animals, fungus, bacteria. Archaea are a form of bacteria. They're just not part of kingdom bacteria. Or a domain bacteria. So this is how the living organisms, anything that's alive, interact with each other. Okay? Does that make sense? Any questions on that? So you can have a living or biotic factor affect some living thing. So we have this population of bunnies and we introduce more wolves. A biotic factor, the increase of wolves, is going to increase or going to change the number of bunnies. So a biotic factor is affected by a biotic factor. Okay? Does that make sense? All right, my other factor is abiotic. A means without, so without life. Abio, without life. So these are the non-living factors: water, soil, the air, the minerals, the amount of sun. I watched a documentary with my husband. He likes these animal documentaries, so it's nice to get him interested into something, something sciencey, so I can do with him. Well, he likes football too, and I don't do football or basketball or any of those sports. But we watched lions in Africa. Like, he wants to go on an African safari and everything. But he doesn't fly, so I don't know how we're going to do that. But anyway, we're watching this, and there's lions that have not moved on. So we've gone through this massive drought. There's no water, okay? So the lions are being affected by the lack of water. The other animals, any animal that was left behind, are dying now because there's no water. That is an abiotic factor that is affecting an organism. Also, all the prey have moved on. So the lions are dying from lack of water and lack of food. So they have abiotic, lack of water, and biotic, lack of prey, that are affecting them. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Habitat, that's where an organism lives. If a bird puts their nest in a tree branch, their habitat is a tree branch. That makes sense? Super easy. Nothing tricky about it. You know what a habitat is. Nothing tricky. A niche is their role in our ecosystem. Okay? It's not what they're like, what's benefiting them, their role. No, their role in relation to all organisms. Okay? So a plant's role is to provide oxygen and food and energy. They don't want to be the one that, they don't care that they're providing oxygen. They're just trying to live their little life. But that's their role. Okay? A lion's role is to keep the prey population low. Okay? The prey's role is to provide food for the predator. And it's a balance. Okay? If you have too many prey, then we're going to lose the vegetation. Too much vegetation loss, we're going to have lack of oxygen, and then we're going to have lack of food for the prey, and then they're going to die, and then the predators will die. Okay? But if we have the right amount, the plants are also allowed to thrive so that there's enough food for the prey, so that there's enough food for the predators. If we have too many predators, they'll eat all the prey and they'll die. Both. Prey will die because they got eaten. Predators will die because all the prey are dead. Okay? There has to be a balance, and they're going to play into it all together. So that's their niche, working with the whole ecosystem. Okay? That makes sense? All right. All right, competition. We've talked about competition in the terms of survival of the fittest. This is going to be where two organisms are fighting for the same habitat, the same food source, anything where they have to compete with each other for survival. Here I have pictured hyenas and lions. They have a very, very not love, hate, hate relationship. They do not like each other because they compete for the same food source. If a lion finds a hyena on their own, it will kill it on spot. Won't eat it, just will kill it. They do not like each other because they compete for the same food source. Here, the lion's going to lose out on that water buffalo because the lion is by himself, herself, by herself, and there's a lot of hyenas there. The lion's right here. They're eating a water buffalo, and then there's a lot of hyenas and more coming. Okay. The lion's right here. Hyenas are fast, but they're pack animals, so they're going to hunt in a pack. They are not strong by themselves. They will not get into conflict with a lion by themselves. But as a pack, they can get the lion to leave. But if any more lions come, the hyenas will leave. I used to show a video with this. So this is all about survival and having the correct resources.
Oh,
it was a cheetah. All right, I'll let you guys watch this video in a second after we talk about this next one. All right, so the next one we're going to talk about is predation. This is a lion taking down a zebra. I mean, it has to happen. Nature is cruel. We kill animals and plants all the time for our nutrition. So it's nothing different with that, except that this is happening in the wild. Okay? That lion has cubs at home that are super cute and will die if she doesn't kill the zebra. Yeah, the zebra has, you know, offspring as well, and they'll probably die because, but it's a circle of life. We watch The Lion King.
Yes.
So predation, that's where you're going to have a predator-prey relationship. The most confusing part for students, they confuse predation and parasitism because both are going to be harmed. But parasitism, parasites do not want to kill their host. They don't want to hurt it. They're using it for survival, but they get hurt in the process. And sometimes they will die. But that will make the parasite die, or the parasite needs to find a new host. They're not doing it on purpose. Predators are actively killing their prey to eat them. There's no like mutual, like they're trying to live. No, they are killing them and eating them. The prey will die. The predator will eat it. That's predation. Lions and gazelles. Cheetah and gazelle. Because cheetahs, they eat gazelles too. Lion and zebras. When your cat brings a little bird home, that. Incidentally, scientifically, they've shown that they're bringing you the bird because they think that you are a dumb cat that can't feed itself. Yeah. It's like, oh, here, you can't feed yourself. Here's a bird. Eat. Anyway. So, yeah, I know. So this is predation. They're going to consume the other one for food. Any questions on that? Let's watch a quick video with a cheetah, a gazelle, and a hyena. Whoops. 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 There we go. All right, so here's a cheetah. The cheetah slinks by, stalking a more substantial prey. There's a gazelle.
A group of impalas have found refuge.
Oh, impala, not a gazelle. Tawny coat. That's a color. So at this point, survival of the fittest. They're trying to find the weakest one.
At last, she dashes forward.
Come on. Yeah, it's hard to, we'll catch up with them in a second. See, there's cute little cubs to feed. Got him.
Unfortunately, in the savannah, one's own gratification often stimulates another's envy. Duma's catch, which has been observed from start to finish, has not left Mama Kingua, the spotted hyena, indifferent. She knows that Duma is completely extenuated by her final spring.
Ew, what is that?
That's a hyena.
And yet, things may not finish as we thought they would. Sometimes the weak are capable of cunning dissimulation.
The cheetah is exhausted and can't fight him off. I mean, the cheetah can't afford. What the? The Impala lives and got away. Nobody eats today. The cheetah was actually choking her I don't know. Yeah, but hadn't finished by the time the hyena came up. So the hyena made it. I mean, the impala made it. Yay! But the cubs didn't get to eat, and the mother won't be able to hunt again for a long time because she's exhausted, so they may not make it. So, you know, there's that. But the impala made it. All right, so that's predation. All right, so sometimes there's symbiotic relationships. This is where no one's going to die purposely. Okay, there's three different types: mutualism, commensalism, and parasitism. So this is where you're going to exist together in some type of joint relationship to help one or more survive. Okay, so mutualism, I liked this one. I like this one because I get to bring in Nemo. Probably. Yes. So in mutualism, both benefit. It's mutually beneficial to both organisms. So here we have a clownfish. It's Marlin, Nemo, and the sister we didn't know about. Yes. So a clownfish and an anemone. That's so cute. An anemone. It has a mutually beneficial relationship. The clownfish can live inside of the anemone, and well, it's immune to the stings of it. So therefore, it's protected from predators because the predators will not go in there and get stung. The anemone benefits because the clownfish eats all messily inside of it, and it leaves food particles, and the anemone can't move around and get food. So it brings food to it, okay? So it's mutually beneficial. Both of them are benefiting. Pollinating flowers and bees, that's mutually beneficial. The bees come, get the nectar, go back home, and make honey for their young. Incidentally, we love the sweet throw-up of bees.
I didn't know it's bees throw-up. Gave
it's food for their young. We just take it and put it in our tea. No, they don't eat flowers. It's the nectar. They take the nectar and they make the honey from the nectar. But in the process of this, they have these little hairs on their legs. So when they land on the plant, they pick up the pollen. And then when they go to another plant, they leave that pollen behind so that they help with the reproduction of the flowering plants. Okay, so it's mutually beneficial. The plant has evolved to have this nectar that bees like so that it will attract them to come so that bees can spread their pollen around. So they're mutually beneficial. That's mutualism. Okay? Any questions? All right, commensalism. One benefits and the other it neither benefits nor is harmed. Okay, so one's getting all the benefit and the other one doesn't even care. Not getting anything out of it, but not being hurt at all. Just, it's happening. So like the barnacles on a whale. The barnacles are benefiting because they're being moved through the water, so they're getting food. The whale is like, barnacle what? Doesn't care. They're on there. Doesn't help them. Doesn't hurt them. They don't care. Yeah, they're living things.
I thought they were like rocks. I thought they were stuck under the
rocks. No, they're living things. These fish that swim around the sharks don't eat them. They don't help the shark out at all. They don't hurt the shark at all. But when the shark eats, they make a big mess. The shark is going to eat its fill and doesn't care about the little particles that it throws off. That's not what it's trying to get. But they eat the little particles that are left around. So they benefit, but the shark is like, eh. not its food source. Well, it's probably not too small. It's just not its food source. It's like, I like flounder, but I don't like cod. I mean, that's not true, but... Yeah, I mean, it's not its food source. The one that cleans out the bugs and stuff? That's not this one. That's not this one. No. I can't remember the name of it. All right, so parasitism. This is where one organism benefits and the other is harmed. Okay? So ticks, bed bugs, leeches, all of these, mosquitoes, those are parasites. These are worms. Incidentally, 70 to 80% of humans have worms in their stomach. Not like this. This is too much. This person is dead. Because clearly they were losing nutrition, losing a lot of weight. They were always hungry, and they did not go to the doctor. Because that is, they cannot process any food. They're worms. That is the small intestines. Tapeworms are flat.
Tapeworms are like, tip can be short, but they come out of your nose, right?
Oh,
my other teacher showed us a video where they took one out of their nose.
Oh, I've seen that one.
It was like so long, too.
Anyway, bot flies. So those get into your skin. And you have to, you can't pull them out because they have barbs that stick into you. So they feed off of your flesh until they fly away. The only way you can get them off is put, a piece of rotting meat over it, and then they eat their way through it. Or just have it surgically cut out, but then you lose a lot of your muscles and stuff, so you can't do that. You have to have it willingly leave. And you can't leave it in there until it, leaves on its own because it actually eats your flesh. There's a fish that swims up the stream of urine when you pee, it's called penis fish. It swims up the stream and it has these barbs and it lodges itself in the urethra, and then it feeds off of. Yes, but typically it's called the penis fish because females typically do not go and pee outside.
Oh, thank God. It's just flying?
No, it's not flying. It's a... So these are in the Amazon or something. It's a fish. So you're peeing into a water source and it swims up the stream of urine and into... and lodges itself in the urethra. It just does. It locks itself in.
Can you show us a picture of it?
Sure. I have a picture of it not lodged in, of course.
Wait, what is it called?
Ooh, that looks ugly. I feel like I've seen that fish.
No, it's just what you... But it's smaller when it goes in.
So it grows inside of you?
Yes, because it's eating and living. No, but doesn't want to be in your stomach. Wants to be in the urethra.
Isn't there a worm that likes going through your veins or something?
All right. Any questions on parasitism?
That thing's scary.
Yeah, you should not urinate outside. But they don't. These don't. They're not part. They're not found in North America. So, Amazon, I think. Any questions? That's it for today. That's it for the lesson of today. Key things that I didn't talk about now, but I have talked about before. A producer is what? They make their own food. They're also called what? It starts with an A. Autotrophs. A level 1 heterotroph eats what? Autotrophs. They eat producers. A level 2 eats?
The level
1. The level 1, so herbivores. Level 3 eats the carnivores. So it's a carnivore that eats carnivores. Level 2 is a carnivore that eats herbivores. Level 1 is an herbivore, and then producers are autotrophs.
And then level 4 is the... What is the one that break down?
Decomposers. Go there.
Oh, yes. I'm just checking.